What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And not just the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
And I'm Holly Fry.
Over the holidays this winter, I noticed a tweet from friend of the podcast and past guest Mary Robinette Kowal, in which she asked herself this question. I wonder if I can reference plastic surgery in the 1960s. How early did it start? World War I, right? And then the tweet goes on to express her total astonishment that it was actually much, much earlier than that. I was astonished to learn that also, and I meant to make a note of that as something to look into when I got back into the office. But then, of course, with it being the holidays, I forgot. Fortunately, though, Mary Robinette dropped me a note with a name to look into, and that was Sushruta. Sushruta wrote the Sushruta Samhita, or Sushruta's Compendium, and that's one of the foundational texts of Ayurveda, which is India's traditional system of medicine. He is also known as the father of plastic surgery. Sushruta lived at least 2,600 years ago, although it might have been even longer. And that means that he was writing about medicine and surgery at least 200 years before Hippocrates, who's the person who usually gets the credit as being the father of medicine.
So the oldest medical texts we know about today are Egyptian papyri that date back to between 2000 and 1500 BCE. But those texts are based on or copied from ones that are much older and have not survived until modern times, at least not that we have ever discovered yet. Perhaps it will be a future unearthed. But these papyri document medical information that is at least 5,000 years old.
One of these is the Edwin Smith Papyrus, which is the oldest known surgical document in the world and is named after the antiquities dealer who bought it in 1862. This papyrus was written sometime around 1600 BCE, but it's, like the others, believed to be a copy of a work that was at least 1,000 years older. The Edwin Smith Papyrus includes 48 case studies of wounds and trauma, and it details the treatments for these that include things like suturing, setting a broken nose, and preventing infections with honey. Given the types of trauma that it discusses, it was probably written for military use to deal with soldiers who had been injured in battle.
The oldest descriptions of medicine and surgery in what's now India date to just after this, from the Vedic period, which spanned from roughly 1500 to 500 BCE. This is when the Sanskrit scriptures and hymns known as the Vedas went from being passed down orally to being written down.
The word Veda translates to knowledge, and the Vedas are the oldest sacred texts in Hinduism. They're not really medical texts on their own, but they do contain a lot of references to medicine and surgery and pharmacology and physicians. This includes lists of thousands of drugs and descriptions of midwifery. The Rig Veda also includes descriptions of limb amputations during wartime and the use of iron prostheses in place of the amputated limbs.
The Shashruta Samhita was written in the mid to late Vedic period, or possibly just after, so sometime between 1000 and 600 BCE. But we don't have a whole lot of detail about Shashruta himself. Under the cultural and religious traditions of the time, life was essentially an illusion, so documenting the lives of common people was generally regarded as vanity. And we don't even know his given name. Shashruta is an honorific, roughly translating to famous or renowned or well-heard.
There is a Shashruta mentioned in the Mahabharata, which is one of ancient India's two major epics and also dates back to the Vedic period. In the Mahabharata, he's the son of a sage named Visvamitra. Among people who believe in transmigration, Visvamitra was an incarnation of Dhanvantari, who's an avatar of Vishnu and surgeon to the gods, and that would make Shashruta a descendant of the god of medicine.
Shashruta may have been born in southeastern India, but he worked and taught in northern India near the Ganges River, in what was then known as Kashi or Benares. Today it's the city of Varanasi, and Varanasi is one of Hinduism's seven sacred cities. Although Siddhartha Gautama, or the Buddha, was born in Nepal, he began teaching in this same region of what is now India.
And this part of India, very important, is also known as the birthplace of Ayurveda, or the Vedic system of medicine. Going back to our earlier discussion of the Vedas, Ayurveda translates to knowledge of life. Listeners may have heard of Ayurveda, even if they've never been to India, because it's experienced a resurgence as part of complementary and alternative medicine.
It is really not possible for us to give a thorough overview of Ayurveda in the context of this podcast. Especially in the West, it is often distilled down to the idea of using things like herbs and diet and lifestyle to promote equilibrium among the three doshas of vata, or air, pitta, or fire, and kapha, or water. These three doshas connect back to the Hindu idea of prana, meaning life force or breath, and sometimes this is all compared to Hippocrates' idea of preserving the balance among the four humors.
And this is not entirely a new comparison. When the Shashruta Samhita was first translated into English in the early 20th century, the introduction contained this note, quote, "By a lamentable oversight, the terms vayu, pittam, kapha, and dosha have been translated as wind, bile, phlegm, and humor in the first few chapters."
I don't know why that makes me laugh so hard. I guess part of me is like, did you realize partway through the chapters that you were doing it wrong and you couldn't walk it back? Or questions for the ages. Although prana and the three doshas are part of the foundation of Ayurveda, they really don't sum up the whole thing. And even just that explanation of prana and the doshas is a very simplified one. Ayurveda is a complex, comprehensive, and holistic medical system that incorporates a mind-body connection, a focus on proper diet and the protection of a person's health, and it has three foundational texts. One is Shashruta's Compendium, another is the Charaka Samhita, or Charaka's Compendium, and Shashruta's Compendium includes both medicine and surgery, while Charaka's builds on earlier work by a sage named Atreya and focuses only on medicine.
Thanks to these compendia, Shashruta is known as the father of Ayurvedic surgery, and Charaka is known as the father of Ayurvedic medicine. Shashruta and Charaka are both believed to have been individual people, but their two compendia are more like compilations of entire schools of medicine, really documenting and codifying the whole theory and practice of these two schools, rather than just one individual person's medical knowledge written down.
The third classic Ayurvedic text is the Ashtanga Sagraha, which was an attempt to combine and unify the teachings of Charaka and Shashruta. The Ashtanga Sagraha tries to reconcile the places where Charaka and Shashruta disagree and resolve conflicts that had grown out of those disparities over the centuries. And this work dates back to the 2nd century BCE and was created by Vagbhata the Elder.
Of course, there are other important texts as well. But together, Sushruta, Sharaka, and Vagbaha the Elder are known as the Three Ancients. And the three texts associated with them are known as the Great Trilogy of Ayurvedic Medicine, or the Triad of the Ancients. And the centuries in which all of these works were created is known as the Golden Age of Ayurveda.
Together, these texts cover everything. The general principles of medicine, anatomy and physiology, pathology, diagnostics, therapeutics, and pharmacology. And they incorporate eight branches of medicine, typically described as general medicine, obstetrics and gynecology, psychology, eyes, ears, nose, and throat, surgery, toxicology, and reproductive and sexual health.
All of this knowledge grew out of medical traditions that had existed way before any of these documents were written down. So these were traditions that had either been passed down orally or written down in texts that haven't survived. So as is true in the rest of the world, Ayurveda grew out of folk medical practices that were revised and formalized and systematized through all of these and other texts.
And we will talk more about the Sushruta Samhita after a brief sponsor break.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
In his compendium, Sushruta writes that theory without practice is like a bird with only one wing. And the Sushruta Samhita really reflects that belief. It is a comprehensive text documenting both the theory and the practice of Ayurvedic medicine and surgery, including the origins of Ayurveda and guidance on how students should be inducted into its study. Requirements for studying Ayurveda were exact. The caste system had started evolving by this point, and medical students were expected to be of the highest or twice-born castes. They were also to be, quote, possessed of a desire to learn, strength, energy of action, contentment, character, self-control, a good retentive memory, intellect, courage, purity of mind and body, and a simple and clear comprehension, command a clear insight into the things studied, and should be found to have been further graced with the necessary qualifications of thin lips, thin teeth, and thin tongue, and possessed of a straight nose, large, honest, intelligent eyes, with a benign contour of the mouth, and a contented frame of mind, being pleasant in his speech and dealings, and usually painstaking in his efforts. A man possessed of contrary attributes should not be admitted into the sacred precincts of medicine.
This text totals 184 chapters, documenting more than 1,000 medical conditions, along with anatomy and physiology, pathology, diagnosis, and treatment. It details diseases of the nervous system, including epilepsy, sciatica, torticollis, and facial paralysis, along with other things like hemorrhoids, urinary calculi, fistulas, skin diseases, urinary tract diseases, scrofula, and a whole lot of eye diseases, including cataracts and descriptions for their surgical removal.
The Sushruta Samhita also details practical midwifery, including using forceps during difficult births, performing cesarean sections, and removing fetuses that have died in the womb. It also discusses embryology and fetal development, along with guidance about when conception is most likely and how to encourage conception of a child of a particular sex.
The text also includes information about the circulatory system, including descriptions of the heart, hypertension, and angina, which you may also say angina. It describes diabetes, connecting it to frequent urination that passes large amounts of sugar and is frequently associated with a patient's weight.
There are also pages and pages of treatments for fevers, diarrhea, heart disease, tuberculosis, jaundice, fainting, alcoholism, vomiting, asthma, and worms. Some of these treatments are more religious or spiritual, and there are chapters on treating ailments brought on by demons and superhuman influences. But many are also practical, and the compendium includes a pharmacopoeia of 650 drugs, including nearly 400 plant substances, nearly 60 of animal origin, and 64 minerals.
The Sushruta Samhita also describes how to determine whether an illness is medical or surgical. Sushruta believed that surgery was critical to Ayurveda, that it was not something that should be reserved as a last resort, and in some cases was the best and most efficient way to bring relief to a patient. He describes 300 different surgical procedures divided up into 8 categories, which are incision, excision, scarification, puncturing, exploration, extraction, evacuation, and suturing. The text also lists 130 different surgical instruments, most of them named for the birds and other animals that they physically resemble.
The techniques include using medicated wine and cannabis as anesthesia, using the mandibles of black ants to suture wounds, applying leeches after surgery to prevent clotting, and correctly dressing and bandaging surgical sites to prevent infection.
This is also a teaching book, and Sushruta's students spent 6 years studying before they could practice on their own. And their surgical practice included really extensive use of what you might describe as skills labs. Although some of their practice used cadavers or animal carcasses, they also used a lot of non-animal substitutes for practice. This include practicing incisions on gourds and practicing probing using pieces of worm-eaten or rotten wood. They practiced bladder surgeries on animal bladders or leather bags filled with water, and they practiced venesection using water lily stalks.
Students also studied anatomy through dissection, although due to cultural taboos, this wasn't generally performed with knives. Sushruta instead recommended submerging cadavers in water and examining the layers of the body as the tissues decomposed. Sushruta supplemented the anatomical knowledge from these cadaver studies with what he learned while performing surgery.
Sushruta's most famous surgical category, and the one that earned him the name the father of plastic surgery, was rhinoplasty. In this period of Indian history, people lost their noses for a lot of different reasons, including battlefield injuries and late-stage syphilis. But cutting off a person's nose was also used as a punishment, especially in cases of adultery, sex crimes, and witchcraft. Women were particularly affected by this since they were often punished for adultery regardless of whether or not they were ultimately found guilty.
We mentioned the Mahabharata earlier. India's other major epic, the Ramayana, describes Prince Lakshmana cutting off the nose of Lady Sarpanaka as punishment and then arranging its reconstruction by royal physicians.
Having one's nose cut off was, of course, an embarrassing and disfiguring form of punishment. It made it really obvious to everyone that you had been punished for a crime, or at least suspected of one, in a very public way. And this is also tied up in cultural ideas about the face and the nose and what they expressed about a person's worth and renown. I mean, we read that whole thing earlier in which people who were going to study Ayurveda were supposed to have straight noses. So also think about the whole concept of losing face. So there was a lot of demand for a way to reconstruct a person's nose after they had lost it.
Sushruta documented a method of rhinoplasty that involved using a flap of skin from the cheek, keeping a small attachment to the cheek during healing. Here's how it is described in the Sushruta Samhita. First, the leaf of a creeper, long and broad enough to fully cover the whole of the severed or clipped off part, should be gathered. And a patch of living flesh, equal in dimension to the preceding leaf, should be sliced off from down upward from the region off the cheek, and, after scarifying it with a knife, swiftly adhering to the severed nose. Then the cool-headed physician should steadily tie it up with a bandage decent to look at and perfectly suited to the end for which it has been employed. The physician should make sure that the adhesion of the severed parts has been fully affected and then insert two small pipes into the nostrils to facilitate respiration and to prevent the adhesioned flesh from hanging down.
The Sushruta Samhita then describes dusting the area with powders made from licorice, red sandalwood, and barberry, and then wrapping it in cotton soaked with sesame oil. It also describes what to do if the skin from the cheek doesn't adhere properly to the nose, and how to handle various other complications during the healing process, including what to do if the reconstructed nose is not the right length after healing.
And this was not Sushruta's only technique that would be described as plastic surgery. As one example, he also wrote about using skin flaps to reconstruct missing or damaged earlobes. But this method of rhinoplasty lasted for millennia after Sushruta's death, and it's why he's known as the father of plastic surgery.
We will talk about his legacy in the world of plastic surgery after another quick sponsor break. I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Me.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Sushruta's method of rhinoplasty continued to be practiced in India for centuries after his death. But because the Sushruta Samhita was written in Sanskrit on things like birch bark and palm leaves, the knowledge of how to do it didn't really move out of India and into the rest of the world really quickly. It does appear that Indian physicians traveled to other parts of the world, though. For example, Alexander the Great had Indian physicians at his court and also attempted to conquer India. It is possible that Indian physicians influenced the later work of people like Hippocrates and Galen. The Sushruta Samhita was also translated into Arabic in the 8th century after the Arab conquest of the Indian province of Sindh.
Europeans got their first glimpse of Indian rhinoplasty during the Third Anglo-Mysore War. A porter named Khawaja was working for the British, and he and four others had been taken prisoner by Tipu Sultan's soldiers. While imprisoned, all five men had their noses and one hand cut off, and they were eventually freed and later granted pensions by the British East India Company.
For the curious, yes, that is the same Tipu Sultan whose rocket stash we talked about in Unearthed earlier a couple weeks ago.
About a year later, a British officer was in a market and met a merchant with a scar on his nose. And the officer asked about that scar, and the merchant said that he'd had his nose cut off as a punishment for adultery. He said his nose had been repaired by someone who did this procedure all the time. And we don't know anything about the person who did this reconstruction, other than that he was described as a potter or a brickmaker.
When the officer came back with this story, the British decided to pay for the five men to have their noses reconstructed. And there might have been some benevolence at work here, but it was almost certainly also to demonstrate the British East India Company's generosity and to reinforce the idea that Tipu Sultan's army was using brutal methods against the British.
Two British officers observed the procedure at least once, and they documented what they saw. This description of the procedure was printed in the Madras Gazette in 1793. Quote, "A thin plate is fitted to the stump of the nose so as to make a nose of good appearance. Then it is flattened and laid on the forehead. A line is drawn around the wax, which is then of no further use. And the operator then dissects off as much skin as it covered, leaving undivided a small slip between the eyes. This slip preserves the circulation till an union has taken place between the new and old parts. The cicatrix of the stump of the nose is not pared off, and immediately behind this raw, parted through the skin which passes round both land, goes along the upper lip. The skin is now brought down from the forehead, and being twisted half round, its edge is inserted into the incision. A little terra japonica is softened with water, and being spread on slips of cloth, five or six of these are placed over each other to secure the joining. No other dressing but this cement is used for 4 days. It is then removed, and the cloths dipped in ghee, a kind of butter, are applied. The connecting slip of skin is divided about the 25th days, when a little more dissection is necessary to improve the appearance of the nose. For 5 or 6 days after the operation, the patient is made to lie on his back, and on the 10th day, bits of soft cloth are put into the nostrils to keep them sufficiently open. This operation is always successful. The artificial nose is secure and looks nearly as well as the natural one, nor is the scar visible on the forehead, very observable after a length of time."
So there are some tweaks, but this is really similar to Sastruda's method of rhinoplasty from thousands of years before, except that it uses a flap of skin from the forehead rather than the cheek. And we don't really know how or when surgeons in India made this shift from a cheek flap to a forehead flap. In the centuries leading up to the late 18th century, rhinoplasty had become a really closely guarded family secret, being handed down orally rather than written down.
An account of this reconstruction, almost identical to the one that I just read, ran in the Gentleman's Magazine of London in October of 1794. In the years after that, British surgeon Joseph Constantine Carpeau began trying the same procedure. He actually carried out London's first rhinoplasty using a forehead flap in 1816. The word rhinoplasty first appeared in writing in English in 1828, and plastic surgery followed in 1837. That year, North America's first forehead flap rhinoplasty was performed in Boston.
The use of a forehead flap to reconstruct a nose has continued to be known as the Indian method. There is also an Italian method, refined by Gaspar Tagliacozzi in the 16th century. The Italian method used a flap of skin from the upper arm, requiring the patient to have their arm bandaged up above their head for about 20 days until their arm skin had attached from the nose and could be detached from their arm. So you'd kind of have your elbow out in the front of your head like a big beak. Honestly, this seems very cumbersome and inconvenient and uncomfortable to me, but that was the Italian method of rhinoplasty.
I wonder if the idea was that there was some benefit to using that skin that
maybe
your facial skin may not have offered. I mean, to me, and I'm completely layperson, I have no knowledge, but to me, going with the forehead skin, which on most people is much thinner and has less subcutaneous fat versus cheek, seems like a weird transition, but I don't know what the requirements are. So if anyone out there is a plastic surgeon, school me because I want to know.
They may also have been wanting to avoid the potential of having two scars on a person's face.
Yeah.
But I did not look into it in detail because the picture of the person with their arm bandaged with their elbow like a big old beak is just so comical that I couldn't get past it.
I kind of love it. We'll design clothes just for that. It'll be great. In the late 19th century, the Sastruda Samhita was also translated into Latin. Between 1907 and 1916, it was translated into English by Kaviraj Kunja Labhashagratna, who consolidated the work's original five volumes down to three. And those are all online at archive.org.
You can go read them all yourself and see lots of diagrams of surgical instruments. There are a lot of them.
Do you have listener mail to read yourself?
I do. I have a quick follow-up to the ongoing saga of Charles Dickens' multiple households. This is from our Facebook from Kristen, and Kristen says, "Heyo, I just listened to the first Sojourner Truth episode and have an alternate answer to the listener mail question. This past December, I read The Man Who Invented Christmas by Leah Standiford and learned that Dickens was constantly having to send his parents money to keep them afloat due to their terrible financial management. This could have been the multiple households answer as well. Keep up the fantastic work, ladies." Thank you, Kristen. Apparently, Charles Dickens was just paying for a whole lot of people to keep their lives afloat.
Busy.
Busy guy. Fortunately, by that point, he was making more money than immediately after that American tour that we talked about back at Christmas time. So thank you for sending us that note on Facebook. If you would like to write to us about this or any other podcast, we are at historypodcast@howstuffworks.com. And then we're all over social media at Myths and History. That is where you'll find our Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Pinterest. You can come to our website that is mystinhistory.com and find a searchable archive of all the episodes we've ever done, show notes of all the episodes Holly and I have done together. The show notes for this episode will include links to all of those historical documents that you can read detailing the origins of Ayurveda. You can also find at our website a link to find out about our trip to Paris that we're taking this June. And you can also find and subscribe to our podcasts on Apple Podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever else you get your podcasts.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.